Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Put Your Mind on the Lord, as we pick up in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
We each of us have a divergence between our ego and our superego, the real me and the ideal me. All of you see yourself in an ideal way. This is what I really am, providing everything is, you know, all right. It's only because of these other factors that you see me like this. This nastiness isn't the real me. I'm very sweet and generous and kind and benevolent and loving and marvelous and a very lovable person. The person that you see is what has happened to me because of, you know, what you've done. But that's not the real me, you see. You know? And so there is this idealization, the ideal me, the superego, and then there's the real me. Now, if there is a vast difference between your superego and your ego, then you're going to have real problems of mental instability. The more well-adjusted a person is in measure to the distance between his ego and superego. If your ego is close to your superego, then you're a well-adjusted person. If there's a wide divergence between your ego and superego, then you're very maladjusted in your life. Now, the psychologist says, bring your superego down. You've got too high of ideals. You've got too high of standards. No one can live to those. You got to lower your ideals. The Lord says, bring your ego up. Through the power of the Spirit, through my help, become the person that I want you to be. Receive my strength, receive my ability, and I will make you that person that is pleasing and glorifying unto God, that person who is loving, who is kind, who is compassionate, who is filled with joy. So, he came to a change of mental attitude, no longer thinking about himself, but now thinking about the Lord. It made such a great difference. Oh, if we could only get our minds off of ourselves and onto the Lord. In the times of discouragement, in the times of defeat, in the times of depression, if we could only get our minds off of ourselves and onto the Lord, that's the secret of the way out. Rather than wallowing in this self-pity, just get our minds and hearts. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord, and God will keep you in perfect peace. Get your mind on yourself, and you're going to have all kinds of turmoil and depression. So when I recall to my mind, this I recall to my mind. What does he recall to his mind? First of all, it's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Things are bad, but they could be worse. It's God's mercies that we're still here. The fact that I wake up in the morning is proof that God is merciful. You see, God's under no obligation to keep me around. It's only by his mercies that I've not been consumed. Secondly, because his compassions fail not. In 1 Corinthians 13, as Paul is describing agape, he said, love never fails. God's love never fails. God has never stopped loving you. God does not love you when you are good and hate you when you are bad. God's love for you is unchanging. It doesn't fail. God's love is continually being poured out upon your life. God's love is not contingent upon what you are, but upon what He is. His compassions, they fail not. Love is not love that alters when it alteration finds. Oh, I love you. You're my dream come true. I'd swim the Pacific to be by your side. I'd fly to the moon to be close to you. Yikes, you have bad breath. I changed my mind. That's not true love. Love is not love that alters when it alteration finds. We have in our minds, again, an idealization, the perfect man, the perfect woman. And we meet someone and fall in love, not with them, but with our idealization. And when it comes that they don't meet up to the standards of our idealization, then we're no longer in love. That's ridiculous. You never were in love to begin with. Love is not love that alters when it alteration finds. Therefore, true love is hard to find among men. And that's using it in a generic sense, talking to the homo sapiens. True love can only really be found with God. You see, He isn't deceived by an idealization. You haven't fooled Him with your smooth, suave manners, the opening of the doors, and the genteel, gallant ways. Hasn't deceived Him at all. He knows what a rat you are from the beginning. But He loves you. That's the amazing thing. His compassions, they fail not. And God, knowing me as well as He knows me, still loving me, is one of the great miracles. God's compassions fail not. He never stops loving you. And you need to remember that. Now, Jeremiah was thinking that God had forsaken him completely. God's hedged me in. He's not listening to my prayers. But when he really adjusts his thinking, he knows that God's love is unfailing. God continues, never stops His loving me. They are new every morning. The mercy and the love of God, fresh every day. Oh, great is thy faithfulness. God is so faithful. As Jeremiah was looking at this devastated city, that desolation was a testimony of God's faithfulness. God had said to those people, if you continue in your wickedness, if you continue in your idolatry, I am going to bring the Babylonian army against you, and they are going to destroy you. They are going to break down the walls of this city. And those that aren't killed by the famine will be killed by the sword. And those that aren't killed by the sword will be killed by the pestilence. But I'm going to destroy you out of this holy mountain. And now God has kept His word. And Jeremiah is looking at the faithfulness of God to His word. Great is thy faithfulness. God, you said you would do it, and you did it. Now, the faithfulness of God can be a glorious thought and blessing, or it can be a horrendous thought. It all depends on what side you are. If you're a child of God, then God's faithfulness to His promises of that which He is going to do for His children. A believer in Jesus Christ, all that God has promised us, oh, and we can rest in hope, for God is faithful. He will do what He said. If you're not a child of God, then the faithfulness of God is an awesome prospect because you can be sure that God will do exactly what He said He is going to do to all of the sinners, those that reject Him. Great is thy faithfulness. God is faithful in keeping His word. The Lord is my portion. Now he's thinking upon the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the mercies of God. And now the Lord is my portion. Everything else has been taken away. My house is destroyed. All of my possessions are gone. I've been stripped, but I have the Lord. And if I have the Lord, that's all I really need. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. Those who do not have the Lord as their portion have very little hope, but my hope is in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeks him. If you'll wait upon God, if you'll seek God, God is good, so good to those that wait upon him and seek him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What else can I do? It is good for a man that he bears the yoke of his youth. He sits alone and keeps silence because he has borne it upon him. He puts his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach, a prophecy of Jesus Christ in the midst of this. Even as Christ always is there in the time of suffering to bear the burdens and the reproach that we bear for him, the Lord will not cast off forever. This judgment isn't going to last forever. This forsaking of the people by God isn't going to last forever. But though he has caused grief, yet he's going to have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. God will change in his actions towards us, for he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. In other words, it doesn't really please God to have to deal in such stringent ways with his children. I've often said you can make it easy on yourself or make it hard on yourself. And anytime you fight God, you're making it hard on yourself. That's the lesson that Jonah learned. He fought God and ended up in the belly of a whale in a miserable condition. 3 days and three nights in that hot mammal. 98 degrees with high humidity. He talks about the waves rolling over his head and the seaweed twined around him. Probably stinky at that. And when he came out of that horribly miserable experience, he shared the lesson that he learned. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercies. If you think you can run from God or hide from God, you're only making it hard on yourself. You're heading for trouble. You're heading for misery. He thought he could hide from God. He thought he could run from God, that he could escape the call of God. It's a lie. There's no way. You're just going to be miserable, friend. Try to fight God, you're heading for misery. He doesn't afflict willingly. He doesn't want to lay the rod on you. He gets no delight in the chastising of his children, but because he loves us, he is faithful and will chastise. To crush under his feet all the prisoners of the earth, to turn aside the right of a man before the face of the Most High, to subvert a man in his cause, the Lord approves not. Who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Out of the mouth of the Most High proceeds not evil and good. God doesn't talk out of both sides of his mouth. James speaks about the double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Jesus speaks of how the same fountain cannot bring forth bitter and sweet waters. God doesn't speak both good and evil. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Rather than complain because of the chastisement, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God in the heavens. For we have transgressed and have rebelled, and you have not pardoned. You have covered with anger and persecuted us, and you have slain and you have not pitied. And now he goes back into the dirge. You see, he came out for a while into the light. You have covered yourself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. It seems like, people say, well, it seems like the, ceilings were of brass. But Jeremiah sees it's like the prayers are just being closed off by a cloud between God and me. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and refuse in the midst of the people. All of our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare is come upon us, desolation and destruction. My eye runs down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eye trickles down and ceases not without any intermission till the Lord looks down and beholds from heaven. My eye affecteth mine heart because of all of the daughters of my city. My enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head. Then I said, I'm cut off. And I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. And you have heard my voice. Hide not your ear at my breathing, at my cry. For you drew near in the day that I called upon thee, and you said, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. For thou hast seen all their vengeance and their imaginations against me. You have heard their reproach, O Lord, and all of the imaginations against me. The lips of those that rose up against me and the device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down, they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart, thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in the anger from under the heavens of the Lord. Here again is sort of a David type of a prayer against his enemies. Jeremiah doesn't ask God to bless his enemies, but to really do them in. It is in the New Testament that Jesus taught us to bless those that curse you. Bless and curse not. The fourth lamentation, how is the gold become dim? The most fine gold changed. The stones of the sanctuary are poured out in the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Even the sea monsters draw out the breast, and they give suck to their young ones, the mammals in the sea, nurse their little ones. The daughter of my people is become cruel like the ostriches of the wilderness. Now, the ostrich totally forsakes its eggs. It lays its eggs and leaves them. Has nothing to do with the raising of its kids. Just has no concern. Doesn't even know if the eggs ever hatch and doesn't really care if the eggs ever hatches. Just lays its eggs in the sand and that's it. Forgets all about them. If they make it, they make it on their own. The mother ostrich has no mothering instincts. But the mammals in the sea nurse the little ones. But the daughter of my people, the young mothers in Jerusalem, had become like ostriches in that they weren't concerned with their offspring anymore. The tongue of the nursing child cleaves to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask for bread, and no man breaks it unto them. They that did feed delicately, those that used to dine at Gulliver's, are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. For the punishment of the iniquity of the daughter of my people is greater than the punishment of the sin of Sodom. Because at least they were overthrown in a moment. They were destroyed. No hand stayed on her. Theirs was an instant death. That is much better than death by starvation. Her Nazarites were purer than snow. They were whiter than milk. They were more ruddy in body than rubies. Their polishing was of sapphire. The young men who had made their commitments, their Nazarite vows to God. But now their visage is blacker than a coal. They are not known in the streets. Their skin is cleaving to their bones. They're like walking skeletons. It is withered. It has become like a stick. They that are slain with the sword are really better off than those that are slain with hunger. For these pine away, stricken through for the want of the fruits of the field. The hands of the pitiful women have boiled their own children, and they were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. The Lord has accomplished his fury. He has poured out his fierce anger. He has kindled a fire in Zion, and it has devoured the foundations thereof. The kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. It was thought to be impregnable. It sits there on the hill with the walls around it. They thought that the city was impregnable. The inhabitants of the earth would never have believed that Jerusalem could be taken. And yet it is now destroyed.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the Book of Lamentations on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Lamentations 3 through 4 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love and in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The Word for Today is pleased to present a flash drive of audio Bible studies by Kay Smith, titled A Collection of Cherished Messages. Just listen to what others are saying.
Kay Smith changed my life. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. And through her counsel and mentoring, I fell in love with Him in a deeper way.
When I first heard Kay, I was driving in my car. I was so moved that it brought me to tears because I needed to repent. That moment impacted my life to be a better mom and who I am today.
Renew your strength, please. I beg, I beseech, I entreat, and if there's any other word, I do that too. Get in His Word. Make it more than your necessary food every day.
Kay Smith has a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus. To order this flash drive with over 90 audio messages by Kay Smith, visit thewordfortoday.org or call 800-272-9673.